ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगता धनमग्नानालिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशाम् एष पुराणार्को धुनोदितः ग्रन्थराज श्रीमद्भागवतम् की जय. This is Canto 6, Chapter 5, entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. And today we're on text number 15. Kindly repeat after me. Tat Sangha Bhrangshita Aishwaryam Sangsarantam Kubharyavat Tadgatihi Abhuthasya इह किम् असत्कर्मभिः भवेत् तत्सङ्गभ्रंशितैश्वर्यम् संसरन्तं कुभार्यवत् तद्गतिरभूतस्येह किमसत्कर्मभिर्भवेत् तत्सङ्गभ्रंशितैश्वर्यम् संसरन्तं कुभार्यवत् तद्गतिरभूतस्येह किमसत्कर्मभिर्भवेत् तत्सङ्गीभ्रंशितैश्वर्यम् संसरन्तं कुभार्यवत् तद्गतिरभूतस्येह किमसत्कर्मभिर्भवेत्. तत्सङ्गभ्रंशितैश्वर्यम् संसरन्तं कुभार्यवत् तद्गतिरभूतस्येह किम् असत्कर्मभिर्भवेत् तत्सङ्गभ्रंशितैश्वर्यम् संसरन्तं कुभार्यवत्
ladies.
saṃsarantam kubhāryavat nadgatir abhudhasyeha kimasat karnam abhir bhavet. Tatsanga prangshita ishvaryam saṃsarantam kubhāryavat tadgatir abhutasyeha kimasat karnam abhir bhavet. Tatsanga prangshita ishvaryam saṃsarantam kubhāryavat tadgatir abhudasyeha tatsanga. By the association with the prostitute of intelligence, bhrangshita, taken away, aishwaryam, the opulence of independence, saṃsarantam, undergoing the material way of life, kubhāryavat, exactly like a person who has a polluted wife, tadgatihi, the movements of the polluted intelligence, abhudhasya, of one who does not know, iha, in this world, kim asat karnamabhihi bhavet, what can be the benefit of performing temporary fruitive activities? Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Haryashvas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? Please repeat. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. We're continuing from the analogy that was given yesterday. I'll just read yesterday's verse just to... Nana rupatmano buddhi sairaniva gunanvita tannishtam agatasyeha kim asat karnabhir bhavet. The Haryashas understood the identity of this woman, Narad Muni had described as, mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence, that's the subject of the verse. The unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? So that's the context here. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana. Those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, namely, intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Bahushakha hi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. One who is not fixed in proper intelligence discovers many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and subjected to varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy, and similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, prakritehi kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashah ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities, which are in actuality carried out by nature. Although one follows the dictations of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of material nature. Scientists, for example, try to be the masters of material nature, life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 13.22, Purusha prakritistho hi bhunkte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangoasya sad asad yoni janmasu. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not solve this real problem, what profit will he gain? Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhudale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Utapadagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanshakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhya ivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Tat sangi bhrangshitaishwaryam sangsarantam kubharyavat tad gatir abhutasyeha kim asat karma bhir bhavet. We are continuing our discussion on these eight or nine verses that we might call the Asat Karmashtakam. Every verse, in case you haven't noticed, has the same refrain. Since text number 11 goes all the way up to text number 19. Kimasat karma bhir bhavet. What is the use with all this temporary karma? In the Mundaka Upanishad, very oft quoted verse, we hear that the living entity who is wise and broad-minded, he develops a sense of disgust at the futility of all fruitive actions in this world. He becomes wizened, you might say, educated in the school of hard knocks. And he begins to question this very line of questioning. Kim asat karma bhirbhavet? What's the use of adding karma to karma? The exact words used are Pariksha lokan karmachitan brahmano nirvedam ayan nasta kritena nasti akritaha kritena. There's nothing here that is not the product of someone's previous karma, either my previous karma or someone else's previous karma. So what is the use? If there's nothing here but karma, then what's the use of adding more karma to the picture? There's no real gain. Karma plus karma equals more karma. You're just changing the varieties. People like to speak in terms of pragati, progress. But the so-called progress in the material world, they're not actually moving up, they're just moving around. They're just moving back and forth. In the mud puddle of material existence, you can move only one or two, you can move any direction as long as it's horizontal. So this is really the condition. But because of polluted intelligence, everybody puts what we call in modern parlance a different spin on the same old thing. Punaha punash charavita charavananam. Every new generation comes into this material existence with the assumption, by dint of avaranatmika maya, that this is all completely virgin territory. This is a completely unprecedented, novel experience. We're the masters of our future. Nobody has ever been here before. The sky is the limit. Every boy can be president, etc., etc., etc. So this is all because of the polluted intelligence. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada very eloquently puts it, actually, Shukdev Goswami puts it. He prolongs his materialistic life. When the intelligence becomes polluted, then all the activities that follow from one's intelligence also become polluted, and one becomes bound up more and more and more in this cycle of samsara. And we know that in samsara you can go up and down ad infinitum, as long as you wish, until you become, as the Mundaka Upanishad said, disgusted. And until you conclude, like that wise brahmana, that there's really no sense in adding more fruitive activities to old fruitive activities. We've been here before. Prabhupada, he said many times, there's really nothing new. Everything has been done before. Everything has been said before. What are some modern philosophies or modern ideologies that bewilder people's intelligence? Let's hear some. What are some of the popular thoughts that mind says? Yeah, if you feel like, do it. You know, we have names for these things. We give them nice Latin names. Feminism is one of them, for example. Communism is another one. Atheistic ideology. Communism is kind of passe nowadays. Everybody's figured out that it doesn't really work through the school of hard knocks. But these things are not really new, actually. Even Buddhism, now Buddhism is very popular in the West also, because it appeals to this atheistic mindset that we've been cultivating by dint of scientific knowledge, so-called knowledge that Prabhupada bashes here in his purport. I think Srila Prabhupada is the only one who has taken on modern science and called it a spade, as it were. I don't think there's anybody. I've not heard anyone else hit the nail on the head, so to speak, the way that Prabhupada does with regards to the cheating of modern science. Anyone ever read this book by Thomas Kuhn called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions? Probably Jyoti Karma has, I don't know. But he talks about some of the factors that determine academic, particularly scientific, what do we want to say for lack of a better term, fashions, because that's really what they are. People are motivated in the academic world but basically by funding, just as politicians in the political world are motivated chiefly by the election process. Every president's goal is to be elected, and once he's in office, his goal is to be reelected. And that's the chief, 90% of his energy necessarily has to go into that endeavor. In a similar way, in the academic world, people have all sorts of ego concerns. They have all sorts of financial concerns that you have to say something new, as we've heard from the Mahabharata, something so-called new, that is. Nasavrishir yasya matam na bhinnam. You're not going to get your PhD unless you say something that everyone around you thinks is novel. Of course, there's nothing novel. It's just that we forget. We've been conditioned so much that we can't remember any of these things. We don't recognize them for what they are. And similarly, we have to be very careful about our own intelligence and who that intelligence associates with and the character of that intelligence, because we can also be affected in the same way. We can also be taken for a ride by the impure intelligence. And that's the point of these two verses, at least, within this. There's actually 9 verses here. It's not really an ashtakam. But that's the point here. Nana rupatmano buddhi. The intelligence takes many forms, just as a prostitute. She's wearing a different dress every day, but she's only offering one thing. You know that. And svayaniva gunanvita. When the tanishtam, when the intelligence is imbued with these three modes of material nature, then a particular kind of faith develops from that. And we're discussing that today. Tatsanga Prangshita Ishwaryam. One becomes, actually Mahatma Gandhi of all people, he said that modern philosophies and political fashions, as I said, modern ideologies, they're just like so many prostitutes trying to attract the intelligence or the intention of so many conditioned souls. And when the conditioned souls become taken by that appeal, then they become lost. They lose their real opulence. The word Aishwarya here means opulence, and according to Srila Prabhupada, it means particularly the opulence of independence. The jiva is independent. He has his own swatantrata. But that independence is lost when he submits himself to an impure wife, kubharya. Kutsitabharya, the commentator's remark here, just means a woman of poor character. If a woman is not chaste, if she goes with one man after another man after another man, then how can you place faith? How can the husband really place faith in the wife of that character? So tadgatir abhutasya, he becomes unaware of the movements. Where is she coming from? Where am I going, therefore, by associating with her? He becomes unaware. And therefore, this whole process of asat karma is actually dangerous. And so the rhetorical question is again raised. Kim asat karma bhir bhavet. So this brings to mind a couple of verses from Bhagavad Gita, particularly chapter 15. Anybody want to guess? What am I thinking of here? Utkramantam stitam vati bhunjanam. We eat the result of our karma. Bhunjana means we eat. Utkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam va gunanvita. The same word is used in this previous verse, yesterday's verse, gunanvita buddhi. When the intelligence is imbued with these modes, then we have to eat one body after another. We have to enjoy in one body after another. And we're taken for a ride in this way. Birth after birth after birth. And yatanto prakritatmano nainam pasyanti achetasaha. Those who are not cultivating Krishna consciousness, or who are not even cultivating consciousness for that matter, because these things are not necessarily theistic. There are many philosophies in India, traditional Vedic, even they're based on the Vedas also, and they accept the Sankhya categories and the teachings of Sankhya, how the conditioned soul is entrapped by impure intelligence. Those who are just conscious of the laws of nature and how they work upon us and how they condition us, and in particular, how they pollute the intelligence, they can become a little bit thoughtful about where they're going and what's the result going to be. But until that time, one cannot really make much progress. He becomes entangled. This is the whole problem. Remember, we have not only the Sankshipatmika Shakti of Maya, but there's the Avaranatmika Shakti as well. Once you become thrown into this mess, then she covers you over and keeps you bewildered and prevents you from learning things if that's your desire. So, therefore, Prabhupada says a very pregnant sentence here in the second paragraph. One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. Let's unpack this. One must, that's the evadigacce principle here. One must judiciously, just like a judge who knows his law books in and out very carefully, one must judiciously understand the activities of material nature, because material nature is working round the clock, 24/7. I like to say many times, she's in fact controlling our alarm clock a lot of the time. When we wake up and smack the snooze button, that's because of the grace of Maya as well. So one must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, everything is being done by her. And when we are infatuated by the principle of ahankara, then vimudha, it's been pointed out, Prithu Prabhu mentioned the other day, vimudha means, what's the word he used? Yeah, super ass, you can say. Deluxe edition ass. Kirtaham iti, Krishna says, he thinks like, you know, I'm the doer. So, but in fact, Purusha Prakritistohi, the one who is situated in this Prakriti, that Purusha, Bhunkte Gunan Prakritijan, he enjoys the modes that are born of that particular nature only. He just tastes different modes of material existence in the form of mainly goodness, passion, and ignorance. And as Prabhupada says many times, he explains, 3 times 3 is 9, 9 times 1 is 81, 9 times 9 is 81, 81 times 81, you get the picture. It becomes a very complex situation in this material world. Therefore, the intelligence becomes confused and becomes bewildered. And when one is attracted by the Maya in the form of these modes, then he loses its independence. Karanam gunasanga. What is the cause? Karanam means the cause or the reason. What's the reason for this? Krishna says, gunasanga, by associating with those modes. You do not get infected until you choose to associate with them. And it's always a choice. Krishna consciousness is less about enlightenment and more about a decision. Sad asad yoni janmasu. This is the thing that the acharyas commenting on today's verse, they're pointing out here. Sangsarantam. Sangsarantam gacchantam. They're going from Naraka, they're going to Swarga, to Naraka, and everywhere in between. From A to Z and everything in between. The whole gamut. I'd like to point out Kalidas, famous Sanskrit poet. He wrote a famous poem, love poem, called Meghaduta. Actually, that Meghaduta was the model for all of several other Duta Kavyas, they're called, messenger poems, including some of those written by our own Gaudiya Goswamis, such as Rupa Goswami. What did he write? Duta Kavya? Anybody know? He wrote a book called Hamsa Duta. Prabhupada named a disciple after this devotee. Or Uddhava Sandesh. It's kind of in a similar mode. Anyway, in his Meghaduta, Kalidas says that this material existence, this chakra of samsara, it's like a big wheel. And when a wheel is spinning very quickly, you can't really isolate that this particular spoke of the wheel is on top and now it's on the bottom. Because it's going so fast, it's just a blur. So this nana rupatmaka, as the previous verse said, the colorful nature of our intelligence and the mode of material existence that we temporarily inhabit for one life, after life, after life, after life, it's really insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And it's going to be gone quicker than a flash. just as the spoke of the wheel may be on top at this split second, but before even 1 second elapses, it's already on the bottom, and then it's on the top again, and what's the use of it? Therefore, Mundaka Upanishad concludes, as we began by quoting that verse, when one sees the futility of this karmic process, what does he do then? Tadvijnanartham sagurumevadigachet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. He finds a guru who is absorbed in Brahma. Yesterday we heard the word tanishtam. Nishta also means faith. He has Brahma faith. He has spiritual faith. The quality of his faith is not mixed with goodness, passion, or ignorance, as we hear about in chapters 16 or 14 and 17 and 18 in Bhagavad Gita. He has pure intelligence, brahmanishtam. It's coming from a transcendental place. And he has heard, shrotriyam, from the shrutis and also from the smritis, and he's repeating those things. And how should one approach such an acharya? Samitpani, with a menial service attitude, as if ready to collect firewood. Krishna and Balaram, they set this example when they were studying under Sandipani Muni in Ujjayini. Where's Ujjayini now? Ujjain, North India. They studied there under in their Gurukula. And they had to go out one night, and they were collecting so many things from the forest, and they got lost. You all know the story. They set this example, even God himself. So this is the ideal. If one wants to know what's absolutely true, beyond all these insignificant relativities and complexities of this material world and the intelligence that follows from too much association with it, then one has to approach the acharya in a humble mood. And one must do this. Evabhigachet, Prabhupada often points out. This form of verbal conjugation is called vidhiling. You have to do it. Imperative. So, Prabhupada concludes here. The living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies, and he has to accept good and evil in these various bodies as well. That's Krishna's arrangement to discipline those who have an unruly attitude. It's Krishna's transcendental attitude adjustment program in this material world. We get I think it was Sridhananda Maharaj, very in his acerbic way, he said, one can either surrender to Krishna and enjoy eternal reciprocation and loving exchanges, or Krishna can turn you over to Maya and Maya will beat the daylights out of you. So in this way, a husband who has a prostitute or a prostitute-like wife, he loses his independence and he is exploited by her. That's the analogy being given here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Banabhata Prabhu, if we have a microphone. All these verses, they're going to explain the analogies or the metaphors that were given by Narad Muni. Today we're dealing with the unchaste woman of Gunangita Buddhi, intelligence that is infected by the modes of nature. Yeah.
Thank you for a nice elucidation of the verse, Prabhu. I have a couple questions. First of all, there are two potencies of Maya, which you mentioned. Anvarat, I can't remember the name.
Avarna and Sankshipa.
Okay, one of those potencies is the covering potency. Yeah. The other potency pulls living entity down.
That's right.
And is it the covering potency that acts first, always, or is that not necessarily the case?
My understanding, and those who are senior and more advanced can correct me, my understanding is that when we desire to be independent from Krishna, then the Sankshipatmika Shakti of Maya throws us into this material world, and necessarily we're covered in order to complete that process.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else want to say something about this? Maharaj, any comment? Yeah, it's kind of like which came first sort of a situation, but I think that it's not
first. He says Dumenavriyate vanir yatar dar shobalena cha yate de davrita garbas tatate nedam avritam. Just like the fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entities are covered by different degrees of this lust. Then he says, avritam gyan etena gyanino nitivarena kamarupena kuntia dusprena analena cha. Thus a man's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire.
Good point. So I guess that you need to fine-tune your question. Are you talking about the so-called original sin, or are you talking about how we're perpetually covered once we're here in this material world?
That's interesting. Thank you.
It's too interesting. It's so interesting, I don't really want to go there. Because we don't want to open up this whole Jiva Wentz thing, and then this is a perennial problem. Yeah, I mean, my understanding, though, is that the original fall down is not necessarily a function of the Maya potency as much as it's a function of one's independence. Yeah, I mean, she can't really operate there. So it's like this. Analogy is sometimes given. Someone has a choice when walking down the street, and if you see a bar or a brothel or something like this, you have a choice. You can keep walking, or you can decide that I'm going to misuse my independence and walk in. It's your choice. Once you get in there, then you really get exploited and you suffer as a consequence. But you can't blame the brothel for someone who chooses to walk into it.
Thank you. The next question is, you had mentioned that living energies in this world, they can go anywhere as long as it's sideways. But maybe you can explain that a little more fully, because according to my understanding, everyone is either going down or going up. How can someone be going sideways?
Because we're looking at it from a paramarthic perspective. There are two ways to look at everything, frankly. There's the relative viewpoint, which is vyavaharic, and then there's the absolute viewpoint, which is paramarthic. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada says, with regards to fruitive activities in general, and that's certainly the spirit of this passage of the Bhagavatam, that it's all a waste of time. It's all useless, and it's all illicit. This is like Prabhupada talks about the Grihastha Ashram. Those who follow the principles of Grihastha Ashram, there are places where Prabhupada says it is still illicit sex, because in principle it's illicit. That's from a paramarthic perspective. But from a Trigunya perspective, that is to say from within the mindset, if you will, of the Vedic literatures, the conventional mindset that the Vedic literatures are dealing with, then of course you have higher planetary systems, you have middle planetary systems, you have lower planetary systems, and there's a big difference between all of them. And in fact, when we are in the Kanishtha Adhikar platform, and even when we are in the Madhyama Adhikara platform, we really do have to discriminate between those gradations, what Madhvacharya calls taratamya, hierarchies of material existence, because they do impact us. As long as we're conditioned by Maya, and as long as our intelligence is gunanvita, as it says here, we are going to be infected by our associations, and so we have to be very, very careful about what we associate with. Is that okay? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.